Thank him. God, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again. We worship you. What a mighty God. I'm thankful to know him. Amen. If you have your Bibles and would turn with me, I'll be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Or sorry, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse 3. When Pastor was just talking about Jesus loves you, it reminded me of, I heard a preacher one time telling a story, and I don't remember exactly if it was him or someone that he knew, but I believe it might have been him, that he was in a hotel room one time, up several stories, and he felt like God, he was trying to get ready for a message or something. He felt like God just kept saying, open the window and yell, Jesus loves you. And he's like, wow, that's weird. That's not normal. And so after a while of feeling this, he finally did it. And he shut the window. He thought, okay, God, well, I did that, but I got a message to study for, and I need some direction. And he felt like God said it again. So he did it again. He opened the window and he yelled, Jesus loves you. And he shut the window. And he felt like God said, do it again. And he's going, this is crazy. And so he did it again. And I believe it was four times. And what he did not know was in the alley of that hotel, there was a man that was ready to commit suicide. He was at the end of his rope. And he had been praying and saying, God, if you love me, will you just tell me that you love me? Somehow, some way, will you just let me know that you love me? And he said, this man found out later that there was some guy, crazy guy, on a couple stories up that kept yelling out the window, Jesus loves you. He's like, and you just never know. But can I tell you, Jesus loves you. I don't deserve to be here. None of us do. But God's had mercy and grace on every one of us. And I'm so thankful for what he's done in my life. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I want to read that last verse from the NLT as well. It says, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Let's put our Bibles down. Let's ask God to help us today. Humbly, God, I come before you. I ask that you would help me, God. Let me be a mouthpiece. Let me be a vessel. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. Bring us, oh God, to a place where we can receive your word. God, we come against every spirit that would seek to destroy and distract in this service. God, I pray that you would drive back the enemy and let us leave, oh God, changed, different, and ready to live for you. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory and praise. Amen. You may be seated today. I do not plan to be long. I really have a shorter message, probably sometimes than even normal, but it's a little bit different format than I normally would preach, but bear with me because I feel very strongly that God has a word for us today. I want to turn our attention to Jeremiah chapter 18, and verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the ESV. Familiar passage. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord said, 'Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words.' So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do." Jeremiah was a prophet, and God had told him, go down to the potter's house, the place where they make vessels. They make vessels out of clay. And I remember taking a class in high school, a pottery class, and actually taking a cold, hard lump of clay. And they taught us how to do all that and put it on the potter's wheel and spin it and spin it and work out the problems and the little divots in it. And I will tell you, my whatever it was, pot or vase or whatever it was I made, did not look beautiful. I can promise you it would not have sold for any money, but it was an experience that I won't forget. And I remember working it and week after week, you know, trying to improve it. And then they baked it, the whole process. It was interesting, but here God tells Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house, and there's a vessel that this potter was making, and it was spoiled. It wasn't what it was supposed to be. And so the potter takes it in his hands and he puts it all back together, and he now makes a different vessel that will fit the need that the potter is trying to make. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he tells them, "Know ye not the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves, of mankind, thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." He's listing these different transgressions and sins, and he's saying that don't you know that if you're living that way, you can't make it into the kingdom of God? But the next verse he says, "And such were some of you." Oh, I'm so thankful that it could be a past tense word of "were some of you." Thank God, because he says you were washed, you are sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." One of the most amazing components about being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is the spiritual reset button that we get. It truly brings to light or fulfills that saying that today is the first day of the rest of your life. When you get baptized and you get the Holy Ghost, can I tell you, it's a new day. It's a fresh start in your life. And it doesn't matter whether it's you're 7 years old or 70. It's a fresh start from the old man. And it's a new path that I'm going to live to please God. And as Paul was stating in 1 Corinthians 6, I just read to us, some of our pasts are not very pretty. I don't think there's a person in here today that wants a snapshot, rolling video of our lives played on that screen. I don't want my life. I don't want all my past failures and mistakes and sins played on a screen for all to see. But thank God for mercy and thank God for grace that he looked past all that and he washed it away. We're baptized, we were washed of our old filthy self. And when we get that gift of the Holy Ghost, it's now a new spirit that is in charge of my life. It's the spirit of the Almighty God that now comes and dwells and lives on the inside. No longer am I able to do things my way, but now I'm operating under a spirit that has control of my life, and it's the spirit of God. But with this new, amazing way of living comes responsibility. No longer do I just get to do what I want to do. No longer do I get to go wherever I want to go or whenever I want to or with whoever I want to, because you see, I was bought with a price. Those sins which were on my record required a payment to be canceled out. And that payment wasn't just a small one, but it was death on a cross. It was the death of a sinless man that was required to pay for my sins. When Jesus died on the cross, he took and paid, he purchased our soul with his own blood. And so now when I get born again into his family, I now have to play by his rules. And I am subject to his will, not mine any longer. You know, as a child, when they're first born and they begin to grow, it is required of the parents. There is a responsibility on parents to train that child how it's supposed to act and live. The child is not born with an understanding or born with a full knowledge of how to live and how to be a benefit to society and not a negative to society. That child does not understand the complexities of life and the things that it's going to need to learn to be able to make it through life. It is on the parent to teach that child. That child does not have the authority or the right to do as it pleases and just disregard whatever the parent says, as long as the child's still a minor. And even then, I mean, the way I was raised and the way I operate is, my father is still my boss. Now, he's my pastor. He's my father. He obviously has different roles in my life, but I still find in the Bible where it talks about honor thy father and mother, which is the first promise. And it talks about so shall you live long in the land. There is promises that are attached whenever we are in obedience to our parents. That's just the way I was raised, and I believe. And as a child of God, it's no different. God has given us a love letter. It's an instruction manual. It's the written will of God that he shows us how he wants us to live. He gives us clear instructions on what it is that pleases him and displeases him. And so the first responsibility that comes whenever we are walking in a new way and turned our back on the old man and now we're on this new path, the first responsibility we have is to listen to God's will. As we read his word, we should be asking him, saying, God, will you speak to me? Will you change my will to match your will? God, as I read your Bible, I don't understand it all. It doesn't all make sense. But God, as I read it, will you mold me? Will you shape me? Will you help me to do what pleases you? The second responsibility that comes is to keep our lives clean. It is on us to keep a clean temple for the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is not going to dwell in a filthy, carnal, sensual temple. It requires daily maintenance to clean out our clutter of sin that begins to build up in our lives. It's daily purging out. It's like taking out the garbage that tries to build up in our house and purge our minds and our hearts to make sure that we're pleasing him. These are things that are a responsibility. These are not things that are just a good idea to do, but these are things that in God's word he says are a requirement. They're a responsibility. Now that you've been bought with a price, we play by his rules, and his rules say that there is some things that we have to be responsible for in our lives. And the third thing that comes to my mind is that we must be aware of things that can harm or damage our new testimony. Your testimony holds the power. There is people that Brother Timothy can reach that I can never reach. I can't connect with them the same. I don't have the same story. But there's people that he can talk to and he can say, hey, I once was that, but look at what God's done. Look where I'm at today, man. God's turned my life around. My family's blessed. I'm in church. I'm plugged in. Can I tell you that testimony is worth everything? We each have our own testimony. There's people that I can reach that maybe you can't reach. There's people that she can reach that you can't reach. Can I tell you, our testimony is powerful. Our testimony holds such an impact. And so we have a responsibility to protect it. 2 Corinthians 4, this is the first verse I read earlier. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. God didn't rescue us and pull us out of muck and mire to not be able to reach someone else. It's the responsibility of every member of God's family, no matter how old you are, to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a musician. You don't have to be a singer, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor. In fact, you don't even have to have a position in the church to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. And if we don't tell them, the Bible says that it is hid to them that are lost. Can I tell you, you want to be used in God's kingdom? The first thing to do is go win a soul. Go knock a door. Go tell a coworker. Go pray with somebody. Because anybody can do that. Oh, and there's certain things that feel, but can I tell you, it's not hard to go knock a door and just say, hey, I want to invite you to church. Oh, I'm working with somebody and I say, hey, man, hey, are you looking for a church? Man, you look like you would love to go to church. I just want to tell you about my church. You're in the grocery store and you feel that cashier, something's different. And you say, hey, can I just give you a church card? Can I tell you, it's what it's all about. At the end of the day, it's all about souls. And we all have a responsibility to do it. It's not an option. It's not something, God help me. I spent so long in my life. I spent years of my life. Just putting it on the back burner is not really a responsibility. But thank God that one day he got it through my thick skull. That it's a requirement. Now I don't look at things the same. Now all of a sudden, everywhere I go, it's when and where's my opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, hey, when you go through the drive-thru, you'd be surprised the people that'll take a church card. Oh, when you're working with somebody, you'd be surprised the people that want to hear about Jesus. The biggest lie the devil's ever told the church is that no one wants this. The biggest lie he's ever got through us is that, well, there's so many religions out there and there's so many things and people are too busy. Can I tell you firsthand, that's a lie. There's people in this building that are a result of a door knock. There's people that are here as a result of handing a church card. Oh, I challenge you today. I charge you in the Holy Ghost to go win a soul. Go pass out a card. Go tell somebody. Why? Because we want a big church? No. Because it's kingdom business. Because it's all about him. Because it's about winning the lost. It's about directing someone who's lost and hurting. If we don't, it's hid to them. But be aware that there's an adversary out there that wants to take that testimony. He would do anything to take that testimony. He's diligent. He's patient. He'll wait however long he has to be able to get into your life and steal that testimony away from you. Bible says, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We've got to be careful we don't let the devil trick us into going back to what we used to be and living like we used to be. His greatest trophies. I heard a message one time I will never forget called the Trophy Room of Hell. And his greatest trophies are the ones that they were pulled from the mess. They were on fire, man. They were ripping it up. And all of a sudden, the devil got in there and he tricked them. and he got their mind messed up, and he got them thinking that the church was against them and the pastor was against them. He got them thinking that the brother or sister in the church didn't love them, and he got them off track, and now they're wayward and they're lost and they're right back where they used to be, sometimes worse than they were before. Oh, I don't want to be a trophy of hell. I got to guard my testimony. I got to be careful to make sure that I don't let the devil come in and turn me away. The last responsibility, I'm getting closer to closing than you realize. Last responsibility I want to bring to our attention today, so important, is to remember that the power of the Holy Ghost is so potent, so powerful, it can heal the sick, it can raise the dead, it can open blind eyes, it can cast out devils. The list goes on and on. And if you and I could really comprehend the power that is attached to the Holy Ghost, when we're talking about the Spirit of the Almighty God, the one who made the universe, the one who flung the stars, the one who separated light from darkness, this is the Spirit that we have access to. And when it's living on the inside, can I tell you, if we understood all that, we would change the world. Mark 16, verse 17, Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Shall they speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not the power of the vessel. The one that when the pastor lays hands on you and prays for you, he doesn't have the power to do anything. But what he is he's a conduit. He's a vessel. And that power of the Holy Ghost now flows through, and the sick are healed, and the lame begin to walk, and the blind can see. I've watched it in my own life. I've seen it in churches. People come in. There's stories in this building of people that were had a major illness. There's cancer in this building that's been healed. There's spinal meningitis. There's valley fever. There's major health problems, heart problems. Can I tell you, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. But as powerful as it is, God entrusts us to care for it and use it. 2 Corinthians 4:7, from the NLT, it says, "We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this treasure." Ours from God and not ourselves. We must be so careful to protect this priceless treasure that God has given us. We're like fragile vessels of clay. If you ever had a clay flower pot, it's so easy, if you were to knock it off a shelf, to watch it shatter. It's so easy to be broken. It's so fragile. It's not strong at all. And that's what the Bible says we're like. Here we've got power that can literally change the universe, and it's housed in these bodies of clay. And we are the ones housing the Spirit of God. It's a gift from God that He gives us to use for His glory. And so, no matter how much money we have, toys we have, cars we drive, the type of house we live in, all that can be wiped out in an instant. The only thing that we really have control over is protecting our soul. And even that is so fragile. Even that, our own mind can destroy our soul. Our human logic and reasoning can destroy our soul. I've watched friends and family alike that rather than listen to the man of God and listen to the principles that are found in the Bible, they use their own intellect and their own logic to try and navigate the curves of life. Can I tell you, some of them are dead today. Some of them are in prison. Some are wayward and lost. It's so important that we protect our soul. It's fragile. It's not some fortress that can withstand anything, but it's daily. We got to be careful that we're protecting, we're guarding carefully our soul. How can I do that? How do I strengthen it? I'm getting ready to close. The answer is found in that little book called Jude. It's only got one chapter, but it has some of the most amazing answers and nuggets in your Bible. Jude chapter 20, or Jude 1, verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what that is? That's a daily prayer life. That's daily. I'm building up. I'm fortifying. I'm strengthening my walk with God. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm getting to a place of deep prayer daily. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keeping my eyes on heaven. Keeping my focus on God. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Got to be sensitive to the needs of others and have compassion. And others, he says, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. What is that? That's soul winning. That's looking at others and saying, hey, let's pull them from a place called hell. They're headed to a fire, a lake of fire. I'm going to pull them out daily. And he says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Remember who it's really all about. And remember that only God has to keep you from falling. The Corinthians 4 that I read earlier, when it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the following verses say we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Why? Because we've got the power of the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, it gives you power to make it. It gives you power that when all hell breaks loose against you, you can make it. It gives you power that when the world around you is shaken, that you're not going to be destroyed. But my question is, how safe is that treasure? How safe is that treasure within you? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then can I tell you, you can have it today. Oh, if you don't have the Spirit of God living deep down on the inside, you say, how do I know how I have it? Well, we find through the Bible, it's a whole nother message, but we find where it was evidenced by the speaking in tongues. God chose that, not us. But when someone has the Holy Ghost, they're going to speak with new tongues. And now it's evident that the Spirit of the Almighty God is now living and residing in them. Can I tell you, if you have the Holy Ghost, how safe is that treasure? How good is that vessel that it's in? Is it protected? Is it nourished? Is it a clean vessel? Oh, God, help us to search our hearts today. God, help us to take inventory, if you would stand. I wonder if all over this place we could lift our hands and just say, God, will you help me to protect that treasure you've entrusted to me? God, I want to be a willing vessel, but I want to be a clean vessel. God, I want to be used for your kingdom. Oh, across this place, would you lift your hands and just worship him right now?
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We've heard from God today. We've heard from his word speaking to us. And now is an opportunity for us to respond. And I wonder right now, as you think of what you have heard, and as you think of how you have felt when you heard these things, could I just encourage somebody to respond right now? I wonder if you have a need today. It could be a need that's spiritual. Maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost. You say, I need the Holy Ghost. Maybe you don't have, maybe you've not repented and you need to repent. Maybe you've got a physical issue in your body that you need healing from. Maybe you've got trauma in your life from financial problems. Whatever it is, I wonder if I can encourage somebody to just step up towards the front here. And as we gather around the front, can I tell you that there's some faith right up here in this area? And I believe if you'll step up into the cloud of faith that's right up here, God can change your situation today. Oh, would you do it, everybody who's able to gather? And if you don't have a need, would you help us pray for somebody that does? If we could all just gather up around the front and begin to seek God. Begin to pray and call out to him right now. He wants to do something right now for somebody. He doesn't want to wait till next Sunday. He doesn't want to wait till some other time when it's better, more convenient. He wants to help somebody right now in this service. But would you just close your eyes and reach for him right now? Tell him what you want. Tell him what you want. Seek him with all of your heart right now. He will be found if we seek him with all of our heart. That's it. He's reaching out to somebody right now. Right now, he's reaching out to somebody. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. My burdens are light. My yoke is easy. Oh, I want to help you. I want to touch you. I want to stir you. I want to change you today. Oh, would you just surrender to his touch right now? Would you surrender to his call right now?
I dedicate my life, my will to thee, Lord. If you could use these hands, if you could use this voice, all for your kingdom and your glory, Lord. I want to be a willing vessel. So you can use. I want to be a willing vessel, the instrument you choose. I want to empty up myself, available to use. Let me be a willing vessel, be a willing vessel.
Oh, I want to be a willing vessel. Lord, I want to be a vessel you can use. Shape me the way you want. Mold me the way you want.
Or a foreign soil. I am yielded now. Send me, oh God, to share this gospel with those who've never heard me before. I empty myself to you. I want to empty up myself, available.
Everybody would help pray right now. Reach your hand in the direction of this family. The enemy would love to wreck everything, but God is doing great things in their life. Oh, God. Oh, that's it. Intercede for them right now. They've got struggles. They've got trials. They've got heartaches. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. within me is. Bless His holy name.
My whole life, I'm going to serve Him for you. So take my heart, every secret part, hide it in love with you.
Jesus, thank you, Jesus. For what He's doing. I thank you, God. 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 You love us. You care for us. You have mercy on us. You encourage us. You strengthen us. You turn us around when we're going the wrong way. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give Him my best. I'm going to give Him my all. How many know? We're on a race. We're on a journey. But there's an enemy out there that wants to catch us along the way when we're vulnerable, and he wants to attack us. He wants to attack our knees, so that we can't
Think about a runner running a race. Somebody comes out of nowhere with a big stick and just boom and knocks their knees and disables them because of their knees. Let me tell you right now, the enemy wants to disable our knees. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that it's only on our knees. And I use that figuratively. We can pray when we're sitting or standing, etc. But just when we talk about prayer in a image form of on our knees, we're only going to make it to the end of this race, as one dear old saint sang a song that says, I'll walk it on my knees. We're not going to make it to the end of this race unless we're walking it with Him by prayer, by seeking Him. And if you want to do a little test and see if that's really true, take on your calendar and say, okay, on Monday, I'm going to not pray at all, and I'm going to do things my own way. And then on Tuesday, say, I'm going to spend long time in prayer. I'm going to pray until the tears flow. I'm going to pray until I connect with Him and see how different Tuesday is. Can I tell you the big difference? Not Him. He's the same. It's us. It's us. On Monday, if I'm not praying and I'm walking the way I think I should walk, let me tell you how I am. Carnal, fleshy. Yeah, I got this. But on Tuesday, when I get up off my knees, I'm like, God, I can't even walk if you don't hold my hand. I need you to walk this day with me. Oh, what a difference whenever we learn to surrender our will to His will. But what if He does it in a way I don't want to do it? Oh, if we could surrender to His will, He knows how to make us happy. Thank